Hey everyone, Laura here, and I'm excited to introduce today's encore episode, Magic Words. This is a share from Catherine from season 13 that left me inspired and with a couple of tangible takeaways that I'm trying out this summer. In this episode, Catherine shares the brilliant idea of encouraging learners to claim their identities as part of intention setting and owning your own learning. I'm excited to try this practice and to share it here again with you all today. Enjoy this replay, and we hope you're inspired by Magic Words. Welcome to season 13 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I am overjoyed to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, it's Catherine's to share what has been inspiring her, and I'm excited to hear all about it.
I'm excited to share, but first let's circle back to last week and do a check-in with you. You talked to us about Teach Happier and some ideas for your next steps. So how's it going?
I have continued going through the book, and actually I've realized that I don't like leaving that weekly win box blank. So this is the one that says at the end of the week, jot down one great thing that has happened. And I really don't like leaving it blank. So it's actually helping me stay on track to keep this as a more regular weekly practice and to circle back to complete that third reflection box.
Nice.
Additionally, thinking about sharing, I have included both the wake up for bedtime idea and a couple of the end of year reflection questions in two upcoming meetings with some instructional coaches that I am designing and will be facilitating actually in the next few days. So I'm excited to have an embedded opportunity to give Suzanne Daly a shout out and link to her work with those groups of people.
Well, your conversation certainly inspired me as well, Laura. So I've got the book on its way and I'm ready to start those reflections. Not at the beginning of the school year. I'll be a rebel as well and start here in March.
All right. Welcome. I love that. Good, good.
All right. Before I dive into sharing my inspiration this week, I'd love to hear about what's inspiring you in the form of a quick win. So, Laura, what quick win of inspiration do you have for us today?
Well, today I actually want to continue the love for Suzanne Daly and share a quick piece of reflective inspiration that I saw her facilitate in that ASCD webinar that I mentioned last week. So she was talking about her book, Teach Happier This School Year, but she also incorporated time for these three positivity pauses throughout her webinar. And one that I really enjoyed was to ask yourself or your participants, your students, your friends, your family, whoever, what's your TGIF? And even though the webinar wasn't on a Friday, we talked about that just sort of celebratory TGIF state of mind. And then we had the opportunity to reflect on the following acronym. So T, what or who did you trust this week? G, what are you grateful for this week? I, what inspired you this week? And F, what was fun this week? And I've actually been able to share this as a check-in or a connecting activity a few times since, both in person and on a webinar. And there's definitely an energy shift in the room or in the chat to really get people connecting and talking about their TGIFs and where they felt that trust, gratitude, inspiration, or fun. So it's a super quick thing to do, but also certainly a win for me and in my experience.
I love that share, and I'm so glad because we are going to use that in an upcoming collaborative session as well. So I can't wait to try your quick win sometime soon.
Excellent. All right, Catherine, I am ready to hear about your inspiration this week. And as you know, we're using a reflective protocol to guide our conversation. So I'll be asking you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share. So let's start with the what. Tell us, what is inspiring you to learn this week?
Today, I'm excited to share a few ideas from a brand new book called Magic Words, What to Say to Get Your Way.
Ooh.
The author, Jonah Berger, has written extensively about persuading others, and he researches why products or messages catch on. So I think there are so many strategies in this new book that are relevant for educators and those who present information. So I'm really looking forward to digging into these strategies with you.
Well, I am super intrigued. And that title, What to Say to Get Your Way, like, tell me more. Let's pull up the timer. So in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about magic words.
Okay. In Jonah Berger's newest book, Magic Words, he shares the argument that certain words are more impactful than others. And he says in the book's introduction, the right words used at the right time can change minds, engage audiences, and drive action. Because of the power of technology and machine learning and so many digitized resources, Dr. Berger and his teams analyzed and coded thousands of documents and found patterns and developed a framework with an acronym SPEAK, but that's SPEACC. Each letter represents the type of language that can increase impact, and here are the magic categories of language. So S, similarity and difference, posing questions, employ emotion, activate agency and identity, convey confidence and concreteness. Oops, we'll stop the timer, but today I'll share one part of his framework, and that's the type of words that promote agency and activate identity.
Okay, you are speaking the magic words to me. I'm hearing agency, identity, confidence, employee emotion. Like, I am so excited. And I also just love this title, Magic Words. It's super catchy. And so I feel like this person knows what they're doing to already persuade me to be intrigued. So let's dive deeper and tell us more. Answer so what about the agency ideas in Magic Words that's inspiring you to learn?
Like many of my other learning journeys, I heard a podcast interview with Dr. Berger. I was so intrigued by his ideas that I had to look up everything else surrounding this topic, which led to me purchasing the book, and then I wanted to share it here. So that's my typical pattern.
Tale as old as time. I love it.
So I knew it was a good topic when, after just a few minutes into that first podcast interview, I immediately thought of how I could apply the ideas to PD sessions.
Yeah.
And had to pause the podcast on my commute so I could just think and reflect and marinate. And I didn't want to lose any of those ideas. Have I piqued your curiosity yet?
Yes. Already I'm thinking, okay, I kind of want to pause you and go explore on my own and think and marinate, but I guess I'll let you give me some details.
Okay. So the first thing Dr. Berger discussed and what made me so interested in his work fell under the category of agency and activating identity. And this topic is actually chapter one in his book. He shared research from a lab school at Stanford where some kids were asked to help clean up and another group was asked to be helpers. And that tiny tweak of just two letters, ER, so help versus helper, led to a large increase in the amount of help. So more research found similar results. Be a voter improved results over please vote. And so other examples to think about, she goes running and she is a runner.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you drink coffee versus you are a coffee drinker. A negative label is also more impactful. Don't be a cheater produces less cheating than don't cheat. And so his first point in the book is to turn actions into identities. And for the grammar nerds, it's to adopt the nouns rather than the verbs. So the nouns as helper, voter, runner, coffee drinker are categories, and they imply more permanence or stability. So they describe who a person is, their identity. actions like drinks coffee doesn't seem as permanent as is a coffee drinker. And it's such a subtle tweak, but according to his research, it makes a huge impact. And then more importantly, he shares how these perceptions can actually help shift behaviors and then lead to habit formation. So claim your identity as a designer, a baker, a yogi, a playful person, going back to my episode one, and this identity will more likely become a consistent part of who you are. Dr. Berger also mentioned suggestions for your resume in interviews. So I'm a hard worker versus I am hard working. If you describe your team members as collaborators or innovators or creators, that will lead to more positive effects as well. So here's where I had to pause the podcast and think about tweaks in our PD sessions. So Laura, you and I frequently ask our participants to set intentions for the day. So I started thinking, what if we gave participants a choice of an identity for that session? And so I'm thinking of a sentence stem, like today I plan to be, and then a blank: collaborator, leader, listener, helper, cheerleader, which means I will blank. And then have some check-ins throughout that session. So what do you think? Do you think this might be another way to engage others? And then could that carry into the classroom, is how my brain was working.
Yeah. Okay. I'm already in. I'm thinking, like, first I need to update my resume accordingly.
Yes.
But skipping to the sentence stem of choosing an identity. Yeah, that completely makes sense. Just that very small tweak, I think, makes it more active. And like, I can be passively drinking coffee, but I am, and I am a coffee drinker. And so I love that idea of taking that intention for the day as a participant in one of your sessions, because I think there's more ownership to it. And I also loved this phrase that you used a couple of times of activating identity. And so I think that's a cool idea and cool phrase. But yeah, I think that would transfer really well to both a PD session and a classroom. So, great thinking. I can just see you just pausing this and just driving and thinking of excellent things. So I'm glad you're able to capture them and share them. What suggestions are you thinking about for activating the language of agency and identity?
Let me add one other thing to this idea about our sessions and lead it back to episode one of our podcast. To be playful, what I'd really love to do is create little digital stickers for people to have, like, I'm a cheerleader today, and that means I'm going to cheer people on and help support and motivate people, or I am a listener and have a little digital sticker with an ear or something like that. I am all into these identities and intention setting for the day. So I just had to share that other random thought
That's a great idea. Yes. And I was thinking that would be a cool way to kind of easily have some built-in connectivity or community, maybe at the top of a session to pair up with somebody who has a different identity, or like all the cheerleaders hang out in this corner and hype each other up. All the listeners go into this corner. I don't know. I think it could be an interesting way that's safe and people have chosen their own identities, self-selected to kind of mix or mingle people. So good thinking over here. I am taking notes. So thank you for sharing these things.
Well, this is a brand new idea, so I am digging in and glad to get your reaction there authentically with this. So the next part is that he, in this first chapter, he gives several more ways to harness the language of identity and agency. So I'll share a few others. His next strategy is to use the word don't rather than can't. And this tweak changes the locus of control. The research shared was mostly about setting healthy goals. And notice the difference between I can't snack between meals versus I don't snack between meals. So can't seems like someone else is holding me accountable. And so it's outside of my control. It's against the rules at my work, or my doctor told me not to, or something else is stopping me. But on the other hand, saying I'm the person who I don't snack between meals, that's again part of my identity. And I'm the kind of person who doesn't eat between meals. So that difference between can't and don't, I think, is so useful personally. And then he also gave these examples that could help set some boundaries. So if you say, I can't serve on the committee, that implies right now this month or this week. So someone may keep calling you or pushing you or asking, you know, when can you serve? Is this commitment ready now, or are you able to serve? If you say, I can't check my work email on my phone, you may get the response of, oh, well, let me help you with that. I'll put in a work order. I'll send you a tutorial. I don't serve on school committees, or I don't check my work email on my phone, sends a stronger message.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's powerful. Okay, these are truly magic words. and I really like these just very small tweaks. But yeah, that adding the don't really is powerful and absolutely kind of plays into this idea of identity of just, I don't do this. Ooh, I like it. Again, over here taking notes furiously.
Thinking just about establishing ideas as who you are as an educator, as a human being. I mean, we have all been about reflection for the past couple of years. And again, I think this is another great layer personally, but I'm really thinking about how the language I use in professional learning and instructions that I give and those kinds of things are impacted by these words. One other idea that I'll share from this first chapter is to turn shoulds into coulds.
Okay.
And so earlier in the year, I saw a newsletter from Dan Pink, and he called this strategy linguistic lightning.
Ooh.
And he said that this improves problem-solving skills. So as a magic word, Dr. Berger said, we think of shoulds all of the time, but should is a narrowing word, and it encourages us to think about rules, right and wrong, either or, and what we ought to do. We should eat only at this time. We should blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, could is more expansive. It's a widening word, and it opens the door to possibilities. Could really fosters agency and allows people to think more creatively. So when we are faced with a problem, when we consider what we could do, it allows us to think more broadly, and all this research backs it up. So I'm wondering how many times I said in my classroom, what should you be doing? And during professional learning sessions, okay, right now you should be doing this or this or this. Or how many times people have even asked me, what should I be doing right now? Laura, you and I talk so much about the importance of choice for our PD sessions. So now I really see the impact that that word could and how that promotes agency. So for the next 15 minutes, you could work on this. You could try out this tool. You could start this email or do something else. So we provide choice regularly, but now I want to intentionally use the word could in my directions. And I think that's such an easy tweak for classrooms as well.
Oh, yeah. Again, I love an easy tweak, but this one sounds, again, just really impactful, just to flip that language. I think you really had me at opening up the door to problem solving or just maybe thinking differently. Again, as a rebel, I don't really care about the rules and I am not tied to like, what should I be doing? I definitely think about it. But I think in education, especially, we are tied to so many rules. So that should is typically the forefront of our thinking with our students, with ourselves in professional learning, because yeah, absolutely. People saying, what should I do now? And so just fostering that choice and agency with the flip to could is really helpful to give people, you know, their identities as learners or collaborators or whatever. But I also like this question of what could we do to solve problems? And sometimes that produces like really interesting brainstorming. We can't always do those maybe broader things that we're thinking about, but I love just opening big instead of sticking with what should we do to combat this or in the situation, to instead like, what could we do? We also love to talk about, you know, the possibility of what can we do? What could we do in education and how could we do things differently than the way we always have? And so these, again, are the magic words for me. You're speaking my language. Mm-hmm. And I love these small shifts because, yeah, I can make this happen at a training that I'm doing in 2 days. So very, very applicable, but I think impactful too.
He has some fun examples in his book about when you do say should, you know, what should happen. It is usually a this or that. It's a yes or no answer. And like you said, that could simply opens up the possibilities, allows you to think outside the box and really start being more creative with those. So I'm like, oh, well, this is really out there, but that could possibly work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Interesting tweak.
Yeah. Okay. What else would you like to share?
Well, as you mentioned, this fun idea of magic words is a great way to think about the book. And his introduction begins with a story about Jonah Berger's toddler first saying the magic word of please as peas. But the toddler was receiving feedback when he used the word please, and this three-year-old discovered the power of words. Well, then Dr. Berger goes on to describe magic words of abracadabra and hocus pocus and expecto patronum. So I'm all for books with the Harry Potter references. So that was very playful.
Of course. I love it.
But more significantly, in the book's introduction, Dr. Berger mentions all of the written and spoken language that exists, from text and emails and tweets, articles, transcripts, presentations, and here's using identities. He says that we are all writers and we are all public speakers. So considering how many words are floating around in the universe, I think it is more important than ever for us to consider the impact of how language works. And then Dr. Berger says to use words with more intention and care.
I love that. Well, once again, my Amazon cart is filling up with books, but maybe I need to do an identity tweak and make sure that I am presenting myself as a reader, not someone who wants to read all of these books that I'm getting and have good intentions. So very, very cool. My curiosity is definitely piqued. And I certainly want to maybe dive into the book, the podcast, and read more. So great ideas, great sneak peek to that book. And yeah, thank you so much for bringing this to us and sharing today.
Well, I'm excited that you are intrigued by these magic words as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, we want to launch further thinking and challenge each other to apply what we share as we consider now what. So now what? What are some next steps from here to incorporate ideas from these magic words and think about your work and further your learning?
First, I will finish the Magic Words book. And I'm certain that additional ideas will lead to more scrutiny with every email and tweet and presentation. And that's kind of a yikes. But again, with us being in summer planning mode, I think there will be ways that I can tweak session descriptions and session materials that will be more impactful. So I will commit to refining my writing based on these additional ideas in the book. And then who knows, we may need to revise our intros and outros for this podcast based on the ideas from the book.
Challenge.
Yeah. And I have a presentation or two this month, so I may be able to try that identity intention setting before too long, but that is definitely going to be something that I attempt at the beginning of sessions. And I hope that I can do the little playful part with digital stickers as well. So that's an idea. And then personally, and like you said, thinking about my own identity and connecting with a previous episode, I'll now think of myself as a playful person with a playful mindset. So I hope that identity will change my behaviors and habits.
I love it. I can't wait to check in and hear how that's going and maybe even admire and acquire some of those now what's for myself. So Yay. Fantastic. We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about using magic words?
You may also find us on Twitter at @DigLearnRadio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, so what, and now what of your thinking. Share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.